Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. A lot of things we could talk about today, a lot of things happening in our world, a lot of things in the news. But I am here today on this radio broadcast to bring you a message of hope, counsel, comfort from the Word of God. Amen. The eternal Word of God. And I'm glad to know how all of this is going to turn out. And I am so glad to be a Christian today that I might have the full assurance that God is in control and that He has a plan for this very last day. And we're talking about Jesus like you've never seen Him before out of the book of Revelation. And we pray that you will stay tuned today for this message. And we would like to thank every one of you that live in the Madison area that listen to this broadcast. This is your hometown radio station, and I'm privileged to be ministering on it. There are other fine local ministries right there in Madison who have broadcast here on WMAF. And these are fine ministries that have their gospel based in the Bible, the Word of God, and we're happy to be on the airways with them, sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will stay tuned today to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. This broadcast originates in Tampa, Florida. I have been pastor of the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, which is an independent assembly of God in good standing and affiliate since 1974. I've been there for going on 35 years now, and we thought we were through with this run for the Lord, and I would maybe do some evangelistic work, but God's let me do the evangelistic work on the radio and stay right here in Tampa. And we have a lot of folks that started out with us still with us, and we're beginning again on a piece of property that the Lord has so graciously made available to us to purchase, and it is now paid for. We pray that we will grow in the future, but we're not waiting for a whole bunch more people to show up to do the work of the kingdom. We have never stopped reaching out for Jesus, and being on this radio is one of the ways that we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please pray for us, and thank you so much for your prayers, and thank you for tuning in again as this radio station actually progresses and becomes more listened to and grows in its influence. So does the gospel that is ministered on it in song and in word. And there's also good just plain entertainment here for you and your family. It's so good to have a radio station that you know you're not going to hear songs with lyrics that your kids couldn't be running around the house and hear. It's good to be here on WMAF. You ought to just leave your radio set right here. You'll get entertainment. You'll get news, and you'll get the gospel of Jesus Christ in song and in the Word. Now that's a real good package, and it won't cost you anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you're not a Christian today and you've been listening to this radio station, please stay tuned. Don't turn that channel. Stay tuned. And I want you to hear about Jesus Christ. I want you to know the Jesus who was God incarnate, who came to this world, our fallen world, and went to the cross as a man and died as a man condemned on that cross, that He might save you and save me. Amen. He took our place on that cross. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would say, not mine, but thine for? Wonderful song, but it's better than that. It wasn't just a great man, a great king or potentate, or even a good man alone. It was a God-man who died on that cross. And when He rose from the dead, He rose to take His place in deity once again. He never quit being deity, but He humbled Himself and took on Himself the form of a servant. But now He is no longer in that capacity. He is, amen, the everlasting Father, as the Bible calls called him, amen, he is the mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus is God the Son. And the book of Revelation lets us know what Jesus we're going to be dealing with from here on out throughout all eternity. And I don't mean in terms of a different Jesus, but Jesus as he was before he came into this world and as he will be forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but he's coming back on a white horse. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they're not going to take him anywhere and harm him anymore. He did that willingly to save you and me. And that's why I love him, reverence him. That's why I'm preaching his gospel. As long as I have breath and opportunity, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus as you've never seen him before. John saw Jesus as he had never seen him before. In fact, none of the other disciples saw him like he was revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos, because this was after the ascension. This is after that he had walked among men after the resurrection. This is Jesus like John never saw him before. Let me read this to you in context from Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 10 once again today. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. As I told you last week, this is not a wax candle, even though the word would seem to indicate that. This is actually the word that was used for lampstand, an oil-supplied lampstand. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as many waters, the sound of many waters. Amen. The first thing we talked about last week, it was someone like the Son of Man. Jesus was a human being and is a human being, as God intended human beings to be when he created them. This description tells us that even though we're going to see Jesus differently than we've ever seen him before, his godness, he's still the man Jesus Christ. Amen. And we also saw something else, that he was clothed with a garment down to the foot, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. This is the priestly ministry, the priestly robes and vestments, the high priest ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to deal with verse 14, which said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His head and hair were like white wool, white as snow. This means that Jesus, since he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, has now taken on the characteristics of God, the ever-living one, the eternal one, the Almighty. He is now the Ancient of Days, as Daniel calls him in Daniel chapter 7. As God Almighty, Jesus has been given the authority to walk among the churches and judge them according to his purity and his righteousness and his wisdom. As God, Jesus never ceased being God. That's why he said when he came to this earth, before Moses was, I am. And when he said, I am, he used the same phrase, the same term. That's why they really wanted to crucify him. They thought he was a blasphemer. You can blame them to a degree for not recognizing him when so many of the prophecies were fulfilled in him. But you understand when he said, I am, he said it the way that God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him the I am sent you, the ever-present, ever-living, eternal God sent you. For a man that you could look upon and have the characteristics of other men to declare himself to be God was and would be blasphemy if he indeed was not God the Son. Not just the Son of God, but God the Son. Amen. It's important that we understand that he was Son of Man, Son of God, because he was God the Son, come down unto us and made flesh and took on flesh. That's what incarnate means. It means to take on flesh. The Bible said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hallelujah. That is what is so absolutely astounding about the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that God came to take on flesh and go to the cross and take our sins upon himself. God the Son came to do that. And oh, how I love Jesus for what he has done. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? It would be something so wonderful that someone of that high rank would lay down his life for someone like me, friend. But it's even better than that. Who am I that the God of the universe, who was there in creation, would lay down his life, become as a lamb led away to the slaughter, one who could come off of that cross and call the warrior angels of heaven and destroy this earth and everyone on it, and yet allow himself to be treated like he was treated and suffer the pain and pangs of death, a torturous death. It took hours for him to die on that cross, who had the power to destroy everyone that was hurting him so. Oh, how I love Jesus Christ today. Amen. Jesus has been given the authority to walk among the churches, the lampstands, and judge them according to his purity and his righteousness and his wisdom as very God. And his eyes were as a flame of fire in verse 15, and his feet unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were bronze, glowing like bronze that would be heated till it is so hot it glows in a furnace. The eyes of blazing fire mean he looks right through you, even better than Superman with X-ray vision. You could fool Superman with lead, but you can't fool Jesus with anything. You know, friend, the Bible said there's nothing hid from the eyes of him whom we have to do. That's why it is such a cleansing thing when we repent of our sin. We're not surprising God with anything that we have done. You know, I've been a pastor and listened to people who have told me about their past or told me about their predicament, and they've told me about the sins in confidence that they have committed, and some of the things have actually taken me back. I would look at that person and never dream in a million years that they would have drifted that far and got that deeply involved in sin. But oh, to see the change that Christ makes when they come clean with God, open their heart and open their life to him. Amen. You know, the incredible thing is God knows you from the inside out. He knows everything you've ever done, even the thoughts and the intents of your heart, according to the scripture. And yet he loves you with a passionate love and wants to forgive you, cleanse you, and make you his very own, and make sure there is a place for you in the heaven and the home that he has in heaven and the home that he has built for you and built for me, so that we can be with him forever. what love, what wonderful compassion he has upon people like you and me. Don't try to tell him you're a good person. Don't try to fake that you never do anything wrong or impure. Don't try to hold up the filthy rags of your best good works and expect them to be pure enough to be accepted by a complete and holy God. Jesus will see right through your motives, your values, your secrets. His eyes can burn a hole in you right down to your very soul. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there salvation neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Amen. It also means indignation because Jesus is coming back with white hair, the hair of the righteous judge. The Bible said judgment has now been committed to the Son as he takes his place at the Father's right hand. The judgment of the nations is committed unto him. And in his eyes is fiery indignation. Friend, we're going to look upon the face of Jesus. Everybody that ever lived is going to look upon the face of Jesus. The question is, are you going to see him as your great shepherd king, your redeemer, your the one who paid the ransom for you? You're going to see those eyes of love like you have never seen in his face. Or are you going to see him as the judge of all flesh and see him as the judge who, because of his holiness, is obligated to execute righteous judgment? I don't want to stand before him as my judge and be consigned to eternal punishment. I want to stand before him as my redeemer and be brought into the kingdom of God in heaven forever. Oh, I'm so glad that I made the choice many years ago to make Jesus the Lord of my life and my personal Savior. Amen. Because everybody, without exception, is going to meet Jesus Christ. The question is how we're going to meet him as our Savior or our judge. His feet are as fine brass, and the feet of a person is their foundation. Jesus' feet are glowing from being heated in a furnace. Heating bronze always proves its purity. In other words, at the foundation of who Jesus is the purity of his righteousness. Jesus achieved purity as a human being. You haven't, nor will you ever achieve that kind of purity. And the foundation of what Jesus gives sinful people is an exchange of our impure, sinful lives for his purity. In fact, having Jesus' purity is the only thing that enables us to stand in the presence of a pure and holy God throughout all eternity. Amen. God has taken our sin and give us his righteousness, taken our guilt and given you and me his innocence. Praise the Lord. Who am I that the God of glory would bleed and die for? What a revelation there is here that this God of gods, amen, and Lord of lords, would come to this earth and become like one of us so he could die in our place on the cross in order to save us. This is a glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Christ is called the righteous judge in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. Friend, you could absolutely open your heart today and receive Christ as your Savior today. Repent of your sins. He knows all about them. You don't have to enumerate them. All you have to do is say, Father, forgive me, a sinner. You know what you've done. God knows what we've all done. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants you to be able to not fear the future, even when death comes, even if the great tribulation breaks forth upon this earth, that you are hid in Christ, in God, and you don't have to be afraid. Amen. The Bible said in his voice was the sound of many waters. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And it refers to a good reference for that is Ezekiel 43 and verse 2. And it says, "And I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory." Have you ever tried to talk a normal conversation above the roar of a waterfall? I've never been to Niagara, but I have heard in the volume of a television a documentary of that great fall, and it must be awesome to think of the power that is manifest when that river comes to that fall and it comes over Niagara. 12 million cubic feet of water roaring down each minute. I want to say that again. At Niagara Falls, there's 12 million cubic feet of water roaring down each minute, every 60 seconds. All you can do is stand there in awe and silence as you watch that demonstration of power. And that's what we need to understand, amen, that we're talking about Jesus as God, hallelujah, amen. Not as the man they took to the cross anymore. This is not Jesus crucified. This is Jesus glorified, hallelujah. And verse 16 said, "And in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength." Back to Revelation 1, verse 16. Verse 17, "And when I saw him," hey, I would have done the same thing, friend. "I fell down at his feet as dead." John saw the Savior, his friend, his teacher, the risen Messiah, in a whole different light. John saw God, and he fell down in awe and couldn't move. But then Jesus pulls back the curtain even more and unveils another view of himself to John as the shepherd of the flock. Let me read it to you in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. "Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades," or hell. The good shepherd of Psalm 23 and John 10 reached down to John, his beloved friend and faithful disciple, who had never seen Jesus in his full power and glory. At that point, Jesus offered him this comfort: "Don't be afraid." And John certainly recognized those words. They were the same words Jesus spoke to the disciples when he walked along the water on the water to them. In the midst of that terrible storm on the Sea of Galilee, their boat was almost sinking, and Jesus said, "Fear not," or "Don't be afraid." John didn't have to be afraid of the risen Christ. He was still the same Jesus that John personally knew 60 years earlier. Jesus reassures us as well. He is the one, listen to this, who was always with God and always God. He is the one who willingly died for the sins of the human race. He is the one who conquered death and hell for you and us. And I. He is the one who intercedes in heaven for those who have believed in him, all because he loves people and fallen man more than anything else in the universe. He's not only God, but he's the good shepherd who loves us. And not only the good shepherd who loves us, but the Lamb of God that took our place on that old rugged cross. He loves us and cares for us. He knows we all mess up. And yet he promises to meet all our needs from out of the vastness of the riches of his glory and his grace. But friend, please understand, you can't have the shepherd without having the God who sits in judgment. Or vice versa, you can't have one without the other. If you're going to be involved with God and what he's doing in the world, you'll have to ask yourself the question, am I following and obeying Jesus who really is, or am I following and obeying a Jesus of my own making? Your answer to that question will determine how teachable you'll be in the coming weeks as we discover what God wants his church to be. Your answer to that question will determine your level of involvement in what's most important to God. Your answer to that question will determine the outcome of your judgment as you stand before Jesus, the Jesus of Revelation, and answer for your life as His follower. And if you're not His follower, you'll stand before this Jesus as your judge. And folks, I am so glad that the God that must judge sin has made a way for sinners to be saved. I am so glad for that man, my God and my King, who hung on that old rugged cross. We had a sister in our church, a dear sister, and she used to sing a song many, many Sundays. She's with the Lord now. Ain't no ways tired. Oh, friend of mine, my body gets tired, but in my soul, my spirit, my inward man, I ain't no ways tired. I get excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I live excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a true story as we close today. Taken from the era that I came up through, the Vietnam era. In the 1970s, the Khmer Rouge soldiers forced residents to dig their own graves before they were executed. Millions, you might have saw the movie, The Killing Fields. I still shudder at what I saw depicted visually in that movie, and when I read accounts of how many people were killed during that terrible, terrible carnage. As villagers called in desperation to various gods, one woman prayed to the God who hung on a cross. As she cowered on the ground, waiting to be shot, a vision of the cross came with a voice saying, "None but I can save you." When the villagers opened their eyes, the soldiers were gone, and they were spared. For 20 years, the villagers in that village worshipped the God who hung on a cross, not even knowing the name of Jesus Christ, until an evangelist visited them recently. Upon hearing the good news of salvation in Jesus, the villagers readily accepted Christ and started a church. Friend, you know who I'm talking about today? I'm talking about the God of glory, and at the same time, I'm talking about God the Son, the man who hung on a cross and died like a lost man and died like a sinful man, and cried on that cross, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And died in my place so I would never have to be apart from God and never be without His comfort and His presence in my life and go to His city and live with Him forever when this life is over. And this great book of Revelation closes with an invitation. "And let the Spirit say, Come, and the bride says, Come, and whoever heareth say, Come, and whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely." The last book of the Bible, when it's all said and done, gives a last invitation. God would not seal and close this book without an invitation to come and drink of the river of life freely, to come and be saved, to come and receive Christ as your Savior, to come repenting of your sins and opening your life, amen, to this great good God who loves you and calls you to salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, oh friend, you don't want to stand before Him as your judge, and He doesn't want to judge you. He wants to save you. That's why He came. That's why He bled. That's why He died on that old rugged cross. Would you bow your head right now and pray with me right where you are? If you're driving, it's okay to keep your eyes open. Just bow in your heart. If you're out there on the interstate, driving around town, wherever you are. But would you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your personal Savior? Would you ask Him to forgive your sin right now? Would you just say, "Lord, I've sinned. You know I've sinned. I'm not surprising You with any sin that I have ever committed. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Give me grace. Give me mercy today. Take me into your kingdom. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to leave this world and face the one that loved me enough to die for me as my judge. I want to face him as my redeemer, as my shepherd, as my king. Oh, friend, if you do that today, how willing he is to save you and forgive you. If you're a Christian today, I want you to know you serve a mighty God in Jesus Christ. You can rest in him and rest assured when you see him face to face, he will smile at you. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.